the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, it's another day on Exploring the Word, the American Family Radio Network, and we're so honored that you're listening, and we invite you to get a copy of God's Word and turn with us, and we are in the book of Ephesians. And Bert, I'm loving our study, the New Testament book of Ephesians, for a lot of reasons, one of which is it's really full not only of doctrine and truth, but really the practical living out of God's Word and God's truth. I know we've been in Ephesians chapter 5, so our study is going to wrap up probably this week even, but it's not only doctrinal, it's practical, and those are things we all need.
We really do, Alex, and this chapter 5, I just really, really enjoy it because it starts out, and I'm repeating myself, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. Now, how are you going to do that? And here it says it in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but here's the secret, be filled with the Spirit of God. Alex, that is it. The Holy Spirit in our life, once we're saved, immediately the Holy Spirit comes in. It's the indwelling. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit one time. But then all through life, there's filling. And that filling works out, and we'll get to that in a moment. The first place that he goes to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit and letting it be working in your life is the home. And that is the bedrock of everything Paul is telling us about. It's the bedrock of the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve there. And so here it is. I would agree with you. It is practical. It is relational. And it's based upon what? The riches in Jesus Christ that the first three chapters cover. And when we discover the riches of Christ and live in them through the power of the Holy Spirit, it works out in our daily lives. So we're to walk in that love, we're to walk in that light, and we're to walk in that wisdom that he gives us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Bert, if you've ever been in a car that got on ice, it's just a terrible feeling to lose control of the car. Now, I don't know about Mississippi, but in North Carolina, we have a lot of ice storms. We really do. And you know, growing up driving a delivery truck for my dad on the farm, we just had to drive 6 days a week. I mean, and I've done my share of winter driving, and if you ever hit ice and there's just no control, that's a terrible feeling. So let me talk a minute, if I could. Verse 18, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, that word excess, sometimes it's translated debauchery or dissipation. Now, if something dissipates, it ebbs away, you know. You might be reading about like some team, and they'll say they started strong, but by the middle of the season, their momentum had dissipated. But the word there, fascinating word, is an ancient legal word that we don't use a whole lot anymore, and it's the word profligate, P-R-O-F-L-I-G-A-T-E. And they'll say, like, America got in debt because of profligate spending. Now, what in the world does that mean? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is profligation. And what that means is no control, loss of control, no guardrails, no boundaries. And let me say, a vehicle that is out of control is dangerous, a life that is out of control. And Bert, I've preached a lot on imago Deo, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? I really think one of the ways that Satan has really dehumanized people has been to introduce into the lives of people, to tempt people where they lose control. Some people lose control of their temper. Some people, they lose control of their spending or their actions, no self-restraint. And of course, drugs and alcohol and substance abuse have Some people have lost control of themselves. Some people have lost their life itself. Profligation, I know that's an obscure word, but God doesn't want us to be in a position of loss of control. He wants to lead us and guide us because he loves us and can care for us and preserve us.
When we lose control ourselves, that means something else is in control. And in this case, it is the alcohol. It is in control. You lose control, something else, the ice, you lose control. You can't, you know, negotiate that. And with alcohol, you can't not negotiate that. But then he contrasts that with, but be filled with the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. Now, this word filling, you were talking about the meaning of the word dissipation and all of that. This word, we think of filling most of the time of like having a glass and filling it with water. This is not the word. This word filled is, it's a nautical term, filling the sails, like a sailboat. Mm. And so what happens, and you know, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and what was it? The power, and you'd hear the wind blowing as the Holy Spirit came in. And so here is the Holy Spirit filling your sails. It's like holding your life up to him and saying, Lord, guide me, empower me, direct me. And so he fills us with his Spirit so that we can do what? Do what he said here in chapter 5 about walking in our lifestyle that is pleasing to him in power and wisdom. Yes, in all of that. So here it is, Alex. What are you going to be controlled by? Something's going to control an individual. I just want to tell you, when we try to control it all by ourselves without God's aid, we're really fighting a losing battle. When we, as you said, want to start using, I would say, elements or substance that substitute feelings and everything, those things will control you. And so you're losing control. So one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit in our life so that we can be guided by him and make wise decisions which will guide us through our lives and be fulfilled. And again, this is the filling. It says this is a command, Alex. This is not an option. The way it is structured in the Greek, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. So it is a command from God that we be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's a pretty powerful commandment he gives us.
Amen. Well, it is. And, you know, I can think about times that the Spirit of the Lord has really spoke to me and guided me. And, you know, whether it's decision-making or guidance. Bert, about a year ago, we were working on a speaker series that we're going to do this summer, and we're going to bring in some people like Riley Gaines and Dr. Gary Chapman. Well, there was a venue that I was thinking about renting, and the down payment was going to be kind of expensive, and it got closer and closer, and they were saying, please, you know, give us the down payment for this summer of 2025. And I just didn't have peace about it. And it got to the day, it was a Wednesday of late last summer, that I had to give a check to hold these dates. And God was saying, don't do that. And so I called him and I said, I'm sorry, I released those days, but we're just not going to put a down payment. And anyway, later that day, a few hours later, it was in the news that this particular Coliseum had gone out of business. And in fact, even as they were pressuring me for the down payment, they were in the process of going out of business. Had I written that check and they cashed it, let's be honest, I never would have gotten that money back.
Right.
And I have to say the unrest I felt was the Holy Spirit saying, Alex, don't do this. And now we're going to do it elsewhere, and it's going to be great. But here's my point. I could give you 500 examples of when, you know, be filled with the Spirit, verse 18. Bert, the longer I've been a Christian and certainly been in ministry, and Angie and I have led our family and just doing life. I absolutely lean on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Don't you, Bert?
I do. And I just want to tell you, this is for living. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for living. You need it to know, do I pay this? Do I take this down payment and give it to them? Do I speak to this person? Do I make this choice? The filling of the Holy Spirit is for living. And out of that living, you will become a, I would say, a living sacrifice to the Lord, a testimony unto the Lord, a witness as the Holy Spirit guides you. And so this filling, again, like I said, what this does, it immediately follows up with the husband and the wife, the children and the parents, the employee and the employer. That's where we live every day of our lives. So you say, well, man, I don't need the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not a preacher. Listen,
no.
I need the filling of the Holy Spirit in my home. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit in every area of our life, don't we, Alex?
We do. We really do. And I mean, listen, if we opened up for testimonies, I think we would get a lot of people in the affirmative that would talk about how God, in his wisdom and his mercy, has led us. You know, I remember I used to hear Jerry Falwell, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord as well.
Yes.
But I've always loved verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bert, did you ever sing, there's an old gospel song, He Keeps Me Singing. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still in all life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, he keeps me singing as I go, which I learned was based on that verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All right, when I read this about being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit and really walking in the joy of the Spirit.
Right.
And I'm not being just trite here. Jesus will put a song in your heart.
Amen.
He will, won't he?
He really will. The scripture says he's taken us out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set our feet on a rock and put a new song in our heart. And so, Alex, here we speak to ourselves and we encourage ourselves. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I know for me, music plays a large part of that. But notice, he just didn't say one thing. He could have stopped and said, speaking to one another in psalms, and stopped there, but he didn't. He said, speaking to yourselves to one another in psalms and hymns. He could have stopped there. And then he went into spiritual songs. Now, again, I love variety, you know? And
oh, yeah.
I enjoy all the music that we play as, you know, our intros, and we love that. And we have it all different kinds. Sometimes it'll be Southern gospel. Sometimes it'll just be a hymn. Sometimes, you know.
I can only imagine.
That's right. This is it. So speak to yourselves. And through that, the Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart and he'll build you up. We'll be back with more right after this break.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy.
Amen. Thank God for His mercy and grace. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, and it affects our speaking, it affects our giving, and it affects our submission. We'll get to those things, but before we do, Alex, we're still promoting Preborn, and we're looking for 4,500 ultrasounds, and we're close by, but we need a few more people to call in and say, I want to give $28 or I want to give $140 so that women that go to Preborn clinics can have an ultrasound, see that, hear the baby's heartbeat, and then 80% of the time, that lady will choose life for that child. And Alex, a bonus because of Preborn clinics, they get to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and many times they've been saved. Matter of fact, over the last few years, 80,000 women have come to know Jesus Christ as they surrendered their life to Him. That's pretty good deal for $28 or for $140, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, last week, Dan Steiner, the founder of Preborn, was on, and I think he'll be with us again this Friday. And in addition to saving lives, they're seeing souls saved. Bert, did you say 80,000?
80,000. Here, let me give
Praise
these numbers.
God.
It is 300,000 babies have been saved over the last 18 years, and 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I would just tell you, if you're a church, this is awesome. This is the work of the church. It's not just a ministry on the side. And most of the time, it's people, individuals, and churches that help do this. And so I pray you would be a part of that. And by the way, let me give that number. It is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. Or you can go to AFR.net and give online, following the link, and be a part of it. $28, $140, or any portion of that. Make that gift available and help save babies' lives and let women hear the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, one of the things that I pray God will use us all to do is restore a culture of life and saving the life of an unborn baby. $28 for an ultrasound. Won't you give, folks, and underwrite an ultrasound? And again, you can give securely online at AFR.net, or you can call and give by phone 877-616-2396. And let's hit that 4,500 number. And 80% of those accepting Christ too. What a great return on investment. To God be the glory. You know, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and I love verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Bert, there's something to be said for gratitude.
Amen.
And, you know, the Bible says God does all things well, and He does. And I realize some days are stressful, and some situations for the moment can look pretty bleak. But one of the beautiful things that we know about a sovereign God is Romans 8:28. Ultimately, God can work all things for our good and His glory. And that's how we can cultivate a grateful heart, giving thanks always for all things. Now, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks for all things, that's certainly counterintuitive to what the world would say. But we submit ourselves to God, and we submit ourselves to trusting Him. And I can tell you, and I'm sure countless listeners would agree, God always comes through for you. If you trust in the Lord, your circumstances, your situation, your very life, you trust it to God, He'll make it work out. He Amen. Really will.
Amen. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where was Paul when he was writing this? Let me see.
Probably in a Roman prison.
Yeah, it says over in chapter 6, verse 20, I am an ambassador in chains.
In chains.
So here he is, writing this letter and saying, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in chains. Now, I just want to tell you, Alex, I have not been in those chains, but I've been places, and it was difficult for me to, okay, Lord, I thank you that I'm where I am. I thank you that I'm in this difficult situation. But I want to tell you, Alex, God takes all those things, and he works them for good. Now, what we think is good might be completely different than what God has in mind. According to what God says in Romans 8:28 and then 8:29, where he talks about all things working together, it is that we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, Alex, when I look back on my life, some of the most transformable times in my life to depend on the Lord, to submit to the Lord, and I would say, yes, become more like the Lord, was in difficult situations. And Paul said, he said, I know whatever state I am, there will to be content. Why could he be content? Because he knew God was working these things for him to become more and more like Jesus Christ. He told the Corinthians, he says, man, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know all of that. But God is at work. So, Alex, we have some individuals out there, some men, women, young people, and right now they feel like they're in a vice, being, you know, pushed on every side, as Paul said in Corinthians 4. Can they depend upon the Lord to help them during those times?
They really can. They really can. Now, we've got a powerhouse portion of Scripture coming up, but before we leave verse 21, you know, I often quote C.S. Lewis, and maybe I sound like a broken record, and I apologize. Lewis was just a brilliant Christian leader. And one time he was pondering on this thing about submitting to God and trusting God. And he had a wife that died of cancer, and he had his share of valleys to go through. But C.S. Lewis said this, and it's very brilliant, I think. He said, it's not that I doubt God has my best interest at heart, but in my flesh, I worry how painful will that best be.
Yes.
So we know, look, God does all things well, and he loves us. I mean, the biggest need of all, salvation, he made that possible through Jesus. So Lewis said, I don't doubt God has my best interest at heart, but in my flesh, I wonder how painful will that best be. And then he went on, and he said, those that want to live their own life and call the shots apart from God's will, they're not asking for God to love them more, but less. If you're saying, you know, God, hey, look, save me, but let me live my life the way I want to live, you're basically asking God to love you less, not more. And if we would only, and I realize there's a big faith quotient here, but really trust God. And in a way, that's a great segue into the next passage. Okay, if you've got a folder marked controversial passages from Scripture, maybe that folder begins with Ephesians 5:22, and I bet there's many a modern pulpit where this passage isn't preached on.
I bet let's skip this one and go to somewhere else. You think that's what they would say?
Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount. No. I'm going to read. Here's what God says in his word. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Oh, my goodness. I can almost hear heads exploding in, you know, parts of the modern world.
Oh, right, they turned us off, Alex. Oh, no. Yeah. No, I'm joking. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, notice there are husbands and wives. Okay, binary gender, male and female. Heterosexual monogamy, a man, a woman. One man, one woman. Marriage, the cornerstone of society and reflective of Christ in the church. And who is head of the church? Jesus, who bought it with his own blood. And just as the church, the bride, is subject to the bridegroom, Jesus, the wife is subject to the husband, the bride and the groom. Now, in the last 30, 40 years of Western civilization, this teaching has been thrown through the wood chipper. But I will say this, it was the bedrock of civilized society for 6,000 years of human history. And Bert, I'll say this, I'll talk to you. I think one of the reasons that humanity, marriage, and family has been so vociferously attacked by the world and Satan is because marriage and family is really an illustration of the gospel.
Amen, Alex. I think Satan wants to distort everything, and he can distort the word submit to make it servitude. You got it? You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't say servitude. It is submission. You're the one that usually says this, may not be an example that is complete, but I'm going to go ahead, take my chances with it. One of the things I've never been a part of, but I've seen it on television, and that's the sleds pulled by dogs, you know, huskies. Oh, yeah. Usually. Guess what they have?
Rod.
Yeah, they have a lead dog. Every dog is important, every one of them. And it's not the dog that is giving out commands. It's the dog that's leading that helps the other dogs come through the difficult things. And so I'm certainly not calling the woman the dog. If I'm calling anybody the dog, it's the man, okay?
Yeah.
So I hope that doesn't offend. But, you know, the lead, so this is the man. And when you start reading verses 25 through 29 and the rest of it, you'll find out there's a lot more said about the man in his position of loving his wife than there were in these three verses of the wife submitting to her own husband. And so, Alex, it is, but both of them, it comes when? It comes after the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it also comes after verse 21, submitting to one another. I want to just tell you, I found out as a husband myself, there are some areas in my life I want to hear Jan, my wife, and what she says, because I just want to tell you, her wisdom in those areas are far better than mine, okay? Now, that doesn't mean I shift all the responsibility to her or her to me, but it is a mutual cooperation in doing so, just like I was talking about the Iditarod with a dog sleds. It is mutual cooperation, but there has to be that one that is leading. That may be a horrible example, but it really does say what we're to be as husbands, isn't it?
Absolutely. Verse 25. And by the way, this is very much akin to 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. There's so much to say here. Bert, look, you and I both have been blessed with a Christian wife. I will say this, in pastoring and just being a minister, I could devote 80 hours a week just to doing family counseling. I wish I had that much time, because I do care about people and the state of the families. But the thing about it is, men, trust God. I want to say this, the blessing and the favor of God is directly contingent on how you're treating your wife. And I've had men say, yeah, but my wife, she doesn't respect me, or, you know, we've just got all this static and strife. Listen, do what God's word says, and let the results be in God's hands. Love your wife. How did Christ love the church? He laid down his life. He was willing to die for his bride. And we men, I'm speaking of Christian men, we should be willing to lay down our life and die for our bride. And I'm speaking as a recovering knucklehead. I think the Greek word for my condition for much of our young married years was knucklehead. That's what I was. I'll own it. And yet, you know, it was an epiphany one day. We were up in Lynchburg, and I was in seminary, and I mean, I was in the world of academia, and yet I was not a very wise young husband. And it dawned on me, Jesus laid down his life for the bride. And that's what we men are supposed to do. And Bert, I can't always say I've gotten it right, but I want to tell you, when I'm treating Angie the right way, there is the blessing and the favor of God. And like Dr. Chapman and I, we've talked about this, when you know your spouse's love language and you speak to it, it will work. Dr. Gary Chapman, who is just one of the great treasures of the Amen. American church.
Amen.
I've heard him say, he's been teaching since 1968, and he said, Alex, I've never seen a marriage that couldn't be saved if you know your partner's love language and speak to it. And so I just would challenge the men, because we need, oh my goodness, we need a recommitment to the building of the American family. And I think a big part of the secret begins with the men from right here in Ephesians chapter 5.
Men, if you want your prayers answered, listen, treat your wives correctly. 1 Peter 3:7 says that. Do that. Hey, we're going to take phone calls, 888-589-8840. We would love your Bible question today.
If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're glad you're with us today, and we are going to take your phone calls. That number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We would love to do that. We also at word@afr.net. Matter of fact, Brent communicates with some of you while the program is going on, and he got a prayer request, Alex, from Alexa, and wants us to pray for her children, Easton and Weston. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. Easton and Weston. And
Great names.
I think I can remember that. So we want to pray for them and ask God to help her and help them. And so we appreciate you communicating with us on Facebook. We're growing and giving numbers, and Brent does an awesome job of keeping that up, and we appreciate it. But we do love to hear from you on your voice with a phone call, 888-589-8840. And lines are open, so if you got that question, we'd love to hear it. But while we're waiting on your call, we're going to go to Jim in Arkansas, who's already called in. Jim, thank you for calling.
No, thank you all for taking my call. This just overcome me one afternoon when I was thinking, you know, if you were there at the cross when Christ was crucified, I don't know if I could handle it. I think they'd just have to kill me. And I know the angels in heaven are saying, God, just say, go get them. Go get them. I can just hear them saying, I can't hold it back, God. Let me go.
Yep.
Oh, isn't that a wonderful thought?
Listen. That old song, Alex, during the break, sometimes we'll talk about old songs and new songs, and we talk about, can we find that old song, and it's not even on the playlist, it's so old, but you and I know about it. But listen, he could have called 10,000 angels, you know, but he loved us so much, he would stay on the cross. I agree with you, Brother Jim, what a love he had for us. Alex, I don't think you could ever determine God's love for us. We love him because what? He first loved us.
And you know, I really believe a scriptural case can be made for the fact that God, you know, where we are born, when we are born, Psalm 16:6, the boundary lines of life, God does everything conducive to make it possible for us to accept the gospel. The one thing he doesn't do, he does not override our free will. But, you know, I've thought about if I had been born 2,000 years ago, I don't know. You know, for all I know, maybe I would have been some legalist on a moral high horse shouting, crucify him. You know, I mean, we tremble to think about such things, but we were born where we were born, when we were born. And that's why I want to say to everybody listening, if you've never opened your heart and put your trust in Christ, do it. Christ has laid out all of the details to give you an opportunity to hear about Christ and be saved. The one thing yet to happen is for you to open your heart to Jesus and say yes.
Amen. Well, Alex, we had Kathy to send it at word@afr.net. So we get questions on Facebook, we get them on telephone during the program, and then we also get them at word@afr.net. And she called or sent it in at word@afr.net. It's Matthew 13 verses 45 and 46. And let me read that. And she said, I found two interpretations, who the merchant is and who is the pearl, or it may be what the pearl is. But let's read this again, Matthew 13, 45 and 46. And this is in a group of parables that Jesus gave and shared. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and brought it. Again, that's right in the middle of several parables that Jesus would give, and we was talking about it the other day in red letters, Alex.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think the one of the big takeaways is that salvation is worth anything you have to give up to get it. You know, when the merchant man found the pearl of great price, in other words, that thing that is more valuable than any other thing, he sold all that he had and bought it. Now, in our life, what is the thing worth more than any other thing? Bert, that's salvation.
Amen.
That's going to heaven, not hell. You know? And so I think, and the merchant man, see, a merchant man is somebody that's looking for the profitable endeavor. And in a way, that's the human heart. I mean, isn't the human heart always, and this goes back to Ephesians 5, no man hates his own body. They say looking out for number one, every human that's rational wants what's best for themselves. Well, that's like a merchant always wanting the thing that'll give increase. So when that merchant found the thing more valuable than any other thing, he sold everything to get it. In other words, salvation is worth whatever it costs you. If you come to Jesus and you lose some old friends, well, that might be unfortunate, but it's worth it. Anything you give up to get to Jesus was worth it.
And that merchant represents each and every person, I would think so, Kathy. Again, me and, you know, what we'd find. Now, it can't be bought. It's already been bought. But we can receive it. But it is worth everything. What shall it gain, Alex, a man, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, listen, what we have in Christ Jesus, only God could provide, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. What we have in Christ Jesus, only God could provide. And Bert, we've got a lot of questions. By the way, folks, if you have a Bible question, the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. You know, let me give you a scripture that I got a question emailed in. Not only Genesis 1:26, but it also in Genesis chapter 5, Bert, it says that we are made in God's image. Genesis 5, 1 and 2, the book of the generations of Adam, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, male and female created he them. And that's also in Genesis 1:26, Genesis 9:6. Bert, the question is, what does it mean that we are made in the image of God?
It means that we have the capacity to know him. I think the Trinity is part of that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit.
Yes.
God is not flesh, because Jesus said that with the woman at the well. You know, he's in spirit, and we that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But Jesus took on that flesh. But we are made in his likeness as the three, the Trinity of man. But we're also made in his image that we can know him, Alex. You know, knowing someone's image gives, I would say, familiarity that we can know him. And so what a blessing it is. And wasn't it a blessing yesterday that our president, not president-elect now, but our president would say, listen, when it comes to federal government, there's only two genders or two sexes, and that is male and female. Hallelujah, brother.
Amen. That's right. That's right. You know, the Latin phrase, imago Dei, being made in the image of God. And by the way, if you've got a Bible question, you can call in, and the number is 888-589-8840. You know, Bert, it's been said that, you know, we can exhibit a virtue or a quality, but God is that virtue. We can love, but God is love. We might have some intelligence, but God has all knowledge. We have some strength, but God is omnipotent. He has all the power. So we are like God. And Bert, that's why from the Magna Carta all throughout history, do you know the death penalty for convicted murderers is actually a statement about our view of humanity and our view of God? Because when we honor the image bearer, we are honoring the one whose image is born, B-O-R-N-E. And when we, you know, that's why murder is so heinous, because it's an attack not only on the person, but on God, whose image they bear. And so being made in God's image, that's a biblical truth. And I think it's a biblical truth that needs to be taught.
Amen.
And passed on.
Amen. Well, Scott from Michigan has called in. Scott, thank you for calling.
Hello. How do you talk to people? They just seem untouchable. They're so abrasive and so combative. And
okay, yeah. Hey, great question. I know this. You can pray for them. You really can. And take every opportunity that you can to say a fit word. Now, Alex, again, sometimes that are untouchable or unapproachable, won't listen. You pray for them. But then you look for an opportunity to say a quick phrase, a quick word, or ask a question. Jesus used a lot of times in these conversations asking a question. What would you suggest to Scott?
Well, I know this is going to sound trite or corny. Have you ever heard the saying, hurt people hurt people?
Oh, yes, and they do.
I've met a few people that were very, very angry, and in the flesh, you know, you just want to return in like manner, and yet I've really come to believe some of the most abrasive, angry people, really, they're hurting, that they really are. And, you know, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit to love people. Now, there's a great Christian thinker named Greg Kokel, and he talks about being a witness, and he says, you know, put a stone in somebody's shoe. You know, in advocating to be nice and be sweet to people, I'm not saying be a doormat. But, Bert, you know, when people are angry and abrasive, be kind, and eventually they'll ask why. Do you think so?
I think they will, and you're looking for an opportunity to say that. You're looking for the opportunity to look to do that. And, again, the worst thing you can do is turn on them. Sometimes you have to, and I'm just going to say it, you have to walk away. You really do.
Yeah.
You walk away. And for a more opportune time, you do that. Well, let's go to North Dakota and talk to Leanne. Leanne, thank you for calling.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's afternoon. Yeah, I got to ask, is it cold in North Dakota?
It is. Well, this morning it was, I think, 18 below, but now it's warming up. Let me check and see.
Okay. That makes me feel good about our 18 above, okay? And yeah, so well, go ahead with your question.
It's 16 above now, and the low was 19 below today.
Woo! Okay, I knew it was cold up there.
You are in our prayers.
Hey, go ahead with your question, Leanne.
Okay, so I have a Bible study going on at the jail, and they're also visiting with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. So I'm trying to gather up some scripture.
Okay.
I had a Isaiah 9:6 and John 10:30, and then go ahead. What do you have to tell me?
Okay, let me tell you this, Alex, and you take it away. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieving demonstrates that it has to be an individual to grieve. Alex, you catch what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You've got to be an individual, so it is a individual, the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, Bert and I, you and I did a teaching, and it's probably been 2 or 3 years ago, on the personhood of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, and like you say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit exhibits emotion. The Holy Spirit exhibits choice. It says that He gives the self-same gifts to the body of Christ as He chooses. And so I'm going to try. I tell you what I want to do is I want to dig out the notes. When you and I did a teaching on the personhood of the Holy Spirit, and maybe I can get that to Brent. Now give me a couple of days, and we'll see if we can put that on Facebook. Okay. But here's the thing. We are to obey the Holy Spirit, says Acts 10. We're to obey the Holy Spirit, says Ephesians 5. And honor the Holy Spirit of God, says Psalm 51. So one that can know, one that can speak to you, one that can make a choice and impart gifts to you, one that can guide you into all truth. 1 John 2:27 says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. All right, something with a voice and a mind that can teach. You can interact. It, you know, it's got emotions. I mean, this is not an it, but it's a person,
Amen.
Isn't it, Bert?
It really is. We'll look for that, Alex. Listen, we don't have time to go to Albert, but I've got part of his question, Alex, and it's about the 6 days of creation. And Albert asked, on what day did God say it wasn't good when He said it's not good for man to be alone? Was it during that 6 days or after that 6 days?
I believe that was after.
I do too.
Yeah.
Albert,
we've said that it was before the fall of Genesis 3, but there was something less than ideal. Yeah. Man was alone because we were made for relationship.
Okay. We need to pray for Sean's family, three children that we know about, and we're praying for them. Sean, thank you for sending that in on Facebook. Brent is able to share that with us, and we're praying for you and others as well. Tomorrow, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. We're going to go over into chapter 6 about children and parents, what a relationship that is, and we're all going to look at employers and employees. You don't want to miss it. It's all part of living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Tune in tomorrow for more of Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.